Okay, thank you, Sly. But I'm also starting back up as well. So between two of us, we should be all set. All right, so gonna be getting started pretty shortly here. I just need to set up a couple links from one of my old characters and be ready to start. This is gonna be a fairly interactive class. So if you happen to have in your assets list a variety of blueprints, you can sort of pick one or two yourself. Maybe ones that you've just discovered, or maybe ones that you're just been sitting around for a while that you're looking for, but I'll be asking for a lot of people to do a lot of links throughout the class, so feel free to get that stuff prepared. Alrighty, welcome everyone. My character name is Liliris Rim. I am currently the events manager of EV University, teacher, graduate, all that good stuff. Been in the uni for just over a year now, just had my 1 year anniversary this last month. And still going strong, I think. Really happy to be teaching some niche classes like this. This class is one I've just as a working title, which is Finding Your Market. Exploration blueprints. To answer the first question in the channel from Julian, is this exclusively about exploration BPCs? What we'll be talking about is exploration blueprints in particular, but the skills and the sort of results also cross over into regular manufacturing, regular trading, so you don't have to be an explorer to sort of get something out of this class to use the same kind of tools we'll be using. So, main reason I wanted to offer a class like this, and it's going to be fairly short, shouldn't be talking for more than about half an hour, is that there got to a point where, probably on a weekly basis, I was chatting with someone, convoying them, basically tutoring them how to do how to basically find what their market is for exploration blueprints. It's a very common, very popular thing for new players to do, very easy for people to start out in HiSec. And unfortunately, that's what everyone does. So therefore, there is a lot of what is effectively junk loot. If you're familiar with other MMOs, junk loot is basically just trash that you collect as part of going about your business, and it gets to be fairly difficult to actually make any money off of it. But this is Eve, so we get to game the system a little bit if we have the know-how. And I had pulled some groups in the Uni forums if they had any thoughts about sort of what their techniques was. And two things I observed was that everybody in the exploration forum was interested in sort of talking about what they do, sharing the options, and nobody in the trading forum was interested in sharing their tips. So that's a pretty good example, I thought, that good traders never want to give out their secrets. But at the same time, you sort of need to have a basis of understanding. And we're all about learning here in the Uni, so I'm certainly willing to share what I've discovered is fairly effective. And as I say, the tools cross over into many, many functions of what we're trying to do in the game, especially if you're into manufacturing. All right, so I've put three links in lecture.e-uni, Eve Appraisal, Eve Central, and Eve Market Data. Now, if you've been playing Eve for any amount of time, you're probably starting to get familiar with these sites. If you've been playing it for a very long time, you probably have them on bookmarks already. These are kind of the key sites that are useful for assessing value of really anything in the game at all. Eve Appraisal is a wonderfully, almost deceptively simple site where you can paste in an asset list of almost any kind, multiple sort of formats in the game, but essentially it will allow you to choose, okay, what is the buy or sell value for this region hub. So if you're able to just open up the Eve Appraisal link, we'll go into just a couple quick things about it. So you can see it's very straightforward. You just have one big paste box and then a choice of trade hubs that you can choose prices in. So the nice thing is if you actually create an account for yourself in Eve Appraisal, it does a really good job at sort of keeping track of what you've done in the past, so you can sort of look at your history. You also have an option whether or not your history is public or private, so make sure you're aware which setting you have for that. But just as an example here, I will link a particular Eve Appraisal link here. All right, so that Eve Appraisal link is essentially just a list of minerals. It doesn't actually give you any information as to what the item was, but it does tell you that it was a bill of materials. So this link was created by simply opening up a bookmark, looking at the industry tab, looking at what materials are used to create it, and then simply pasting it in. So there isn't really any way to sort of annotate this for later viewing, but there are also little tricks you can do to sort of give yourself reminders. We'll talk about that towards the end of the class. So what we're trying to figure out is, okay, you've collected all of these blueprints, and you're trying to figure out, okay, is it worth making them? Is it worth selling them? How to actually find someone who's willing to buy them, because blueprint copies, of course, don't actually work through the market system. Thank you for that. So that's a good example of, if you have your settings wrong in Eve Appraisal, those links won't work if they're actually hidden. So I'll link you a recent one. There we go. That one should be better, and if it's not, I will redo it. Third time's charm. Yeah, those Eve Brazel cookies are per browser, I think. They're not per login. So anyway, lesson learned is don't fiddle with your faults, basically, when you're on this website. Anyway, all right, so we're looking at this this link here. So this is a very short list of assets. And this list of assets comes from an incognito data interface print. So if you've been doing any amount of exploring in Galente space, you've probably come across what are essentially data interface blueprints as loot. Now, these are fairly common, especially in high-sec sites. And of course, it's a question of, you know, how do you unload them? Because A, you know, what do they do? And if you're not a manufacturer, you may not aware of what all this loot actually does. And B, you're looking at these kind of materials that are produced, that are used in producing it, and none of them make any sense because they're not actually normal kinds of loot. So these are all, unlike say a ship cycle, well, obviously this is minerals, but it can be very hard to sort of discern when you're just looking at your loot, what is this actually about? What's it for? How useful is it? Is it something that anybody would want if there weren't already 1,000 of them on the marketplace on contracts? So the question then becomes, do you have to spend time educating yourself as to, you know, how intricately can you construct, how can you find a buyer? Or do you simply want to be able to just dump what you have and try and get rid of it as fast as possible? And both of those are perfectly valid. What we're going to talk about today is a little bit of both. We're going to find out, okay, how to basically assess the best way to actually sell something. And then for the people who are also getting interested in manufacturing, you'll actually be able to just discern if you actually want to save certain things so that you're able to manufacture them. Maybe you have a manufacturing alt. Maybe you have someone who's in your corp or a friend of yours that's interested in just sort of accumulating these things. And a lot of things that happen when I talk to people about what they're doing is they sort of want to make assumptions about what the market is for something. They want to just, you know, give up. They want to say, okay, right click, finding contracts, you know, best is 3 million, listed as 3 million, done, but it never sells. So there's a lot of misconceptions about, you know, how you can actually work the market, how you can actually find a way to sell your things. So that's basically what I end up tutoring a lot of individual people to do. So we'll get into some processes here. So we've covered appraisal. That's very important in terms of determining the value. What we're going to be doing is determining the value of individual blueprints. And then Eve Central, I'm going to make an assumption that most people are familiar with Eve Central. There are a couple things we'll do in the process, so I won't give much of a tutorial there. The Eve Market Data link is also very good. If you're getting a little bit more serious about dealing with your assets and doing things there, that has some slightly different tools available to you. Eric's not familiar, that's good. Yeah, we'll go through what you need to know as far as using Eve Appraisal, but it's definitely one of the most popular websites, I would say, in the Eve community. All right, so I asked earlier for people to sort of collect a list of exploration blueprints that they may have collected themselves. So anyone and everyone, feel free to just pick one and just link it in lecture.e-uni, and we'll start dealing with things people actually have. All right, Brennan has a storyline blueprint, which is great. Geekin has an incognito data interface, pretty common. So those are good. Keep them coming. We can do as many as people like to link. A bit of variety is good. I'll start talking about these pretty shortly. Large micro jump, very common, very popular. Getting some Tech 2 rigs and medium ancillary shield boosters, of course. All right, so we're going to make use of what the game data actually lets us look at here. Now, you probably discovered that depending on how you link your blueprint, depending on where you actually pull it from, you may or may not get the information you want to see. If you click on the large micro jump drive blueprint link, you'll see that it actually comes up with the item ID that's the original blueprint. Now, it's incredibly unlikely that Area actually has that original. So what's happened is that by linking it this way, however way he chose to do it, the game just hasn't interpreted that as the actual copy. There is a very special thing about certain kinds of unique items. Eve will create a what's called an envelope. So every blueprint in the game has to have an original in the database. And through that original, that's how the game just assigns an envelope with all the individual data to order to say, okay, what kind of copy is it? And it's that envelope that makes all copies unique. It's that envelope that determines that it cannot be sold on the market. It has to be sold through contracts. And all of that stuff is created individually when an item spawns. Basically, the moment of its creation, it becomes a unique item in the game, and that's how the game handles it in its database. So if we instead look at the Investor Tracking Disruptor 1 blueprint, that's been linked as a copy. And if we look at it, we see, okay, it has a copy of 3 runs remaining. It has material and production efficiency attached to it, which is great. These storyline mission blueprints are really nice to get. Right off the bat, we have our industry tab, just talks about, what the outcome is, what the skills are, the input materials. And all that's very useful for determining what its value is intrinsically. And then we have to think about it separately as to what the value is for a potential buyer. Now, if we next look at the Incognito Tuner data interface blueprint, that is linked as a copy. It has 4 runs remaining. It has absolutely zero research to it. Now, if you know anything about blueprints, you know that a research blueprint has intrinsic value. It basically makes it more efficient to produce. One of the tricks with copies is that copies cannot be researched any further. What you get is what you have. And that can affect its perceived value, its end results, basically, is it useful to someone? In a lot of cases, that may not matter because it's impossible to find ones that spawn with this thing. This is something that CCP has modified a little bit since Creus. It is possible to get different production efficiencies off of certain kinds of blueprints now, whereas previously they would all tend to be zero. But the example of the first one, the investor tracking blueprint storyline, that spawning with actual research points on it already, that's quite nice. That's sort of a reward for going through the process of a storyline and getting the reward that way. If you happen to actually do things like the pirate arcs with some a Cinnabon blueprint, or you may get a Gee blueprint. There are multiple ways to get those. You can get one through doing the arc. You can get one some through exploration. The ones that you get through exploration will have less bonuses. They will be less appealing because you had to do less work to get them. Whereas the ones you go through the pirate arc to actually acquire, those will actually have bonus research points. So even how blueprints are acquired throughout the game has been tweaked a bit to make them more or less appealing. Okay, so for the case of this example, I'm going to use the Medium Egress Port Maximizer 2 blueprint. I think that'll be a good example. So Sanguine, we'll get everyone to open up that blueprint. You can see that it's a copy. It has 2 runs remaining, and it has no research points into it. The actual ingredients to produce it are fairly simple. So what we're going to do, first of all, is what anybody in any chat channel will suggest that they do, which is right-click, find in contracts. And I am seeing, looking through the contracts here, that we have an approximate price value of 7 million ISK between JITA and Amar. It's good to point out at this point that generally, if you're serious about getting money out of your exploration blueprints, you'll want to think about the Forge and Domain for your price checks. That's where the highest volume will be, and it's more than likely that you'll be able to move your goods faster in those regions. So now, what I tell people is that looking at this available contracts list is only half the story, because anything that you see on this contracts list is what hasn't sold yet. So it's possible that all of these end up selling within, you know, a few hours if they're priced at 4 million or 5 million and nobody's willing to touch them at 7 million. We don't know that just from purely looking at the list. All we have is the basic price. We have the time left. You can see that there's 4 days and 2 days left. So basically a range of 2 days to 11 days. This blueprint does not sell in the range of 7 to 8 million ISK. It does not move at that price range. So you have to think about, okay, how am I going to start undercutting that? Valuable? Is there actually any volume for it? And if you choose to click through any of these contracts, all the contracts do preserve the actual data, so you're able to see exactly the number of runs, any efficiency, all that data is preserved if you actually click through a contract, so you can compare if what someone is offering on the contract market to yours exactly. And if it turns out that theirs has 50 runs instead of your 2, you have to adjust what your expectation for the price is there as well. Or if you do get lucky enough to have like an ancillary booster that has a couple dozen runs on it, that will understandably adjust your price. So as a result, what I advise people to do is we have to essentially normalize what the price is. So we have to treat everything as a single run. And then once you determine price and the value from that, then you can just simply multiply. So you can easily see if yours has 3 runs and someone else's has 2 runs, are you actually offering them for the same price by normalizing it to a single run? Cami asks, what are you clicking to get the run info? Right now I'm just looking at the contract screen. So if you view a contract, and then once you view a contract, there's a little I item box at the far right of the item description. And then if you click that, it will pop up the actual blueprint information. Just as we're able to click on them in the chat window. All right, so what we've been able to do is say, okay, what's currently on the market? All right, well, that's, again, we've said that's only half the story. What we want to find out is, what is this actually worth? Like, you have to think about your customer. So someone who's going to buy this is theoretically going to buy it in order to manufacture it. So this is where switching from the mindset of an explorer to the mindset of a manufacturer helps you by determining who your customer is. And if you have any experience in sales, you know that's basically the best way to make a sale. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up. Let's see, we're going to go back to the original. All right, so Sanguine's link in the chat, we're going to look at that one specifically. They're all the same, but in this case, we're just going to keep it consistent. So we have the industry tab open, and we have 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 items that are required to produce it. So what we're going to do is shift click and select all of them. So right now I have the power conduit, the power circuit, the interface circuit, and the RAM energy tech. I have all of those selected, and I'm just going to do Control C. And then I'm going to Control V in the web browser in the Eve appraisal text box that we looked at earlier. And I'm going to say JITA price, and I'm going to go submit. And that's produced a link that hopefully I can share with you. So we can see by looking at this that the average cost for someone to actually produce is about 13.5 million ISK. So at this point, we know what a manufacturer is going to have to deal with, what their input costs are going to be. And this is important from the point of view of being able to is the differential. So if you think about, let's pretend that this is that someone bought this for 7 million ISK, and now they also have to spend to produce it. So that means theoretically that their input cost is 20 million ISK. So we have that number in mind now. Now we're going to go to Eve Central, their website. And we're going to look up the item that actually this blueprint is producing. And I've added the link to the lecture chat there. So this is the current information in the major trade hubs about what this rig can actually sell for. And you can see that in this case, the range runs from close to 23 million ISK to the buy orders being around 18.5 million. So this is actually a really good example of something that is essentially in demand and has a fairly stable market curve of the input costs versus the sale cost. And because it also has a variety of sell and buy orders, that also means it has enough volume that you can make some assumptions that this is fairly accurate. So theoretically, someone can buy this and produce it and make a profit. So that means it's actually a very good item to have because it has enough demand, or at least it has the potential for the next person down the chain to actually make some profit and then for it to also be useful. So this is in just essentially a couple of clicks by checking a couple of websites. We've determined that this is both a potentially sellable item, and we have a good idea of what the return we can get from it as the explorer. So we can probably sell this for about 7 million ISK and do so within a fairly short amount of time. And if we lower that price by any significant amount, there's a good chance it'll sell that much faster because that will increase the margin for the manufacturer to actually take that blueprint and produce it. So that's a good find and a good option. Other things, let's pretend that this is something a little bit more obscure and we're not actually sure what it does. We're going to look at the outcome section of this blueprint information. Going to click the little eye on that. So this ship modification is designed to reduce the ship's capacitor need for all energy emission modules. And this is a medium rig. So what this means, and if you're not as familiar with the game, this may not be obvious, but what this means is that this is saying that things that like logistics ships, things like healing ships, or neuting ships, will benefit from this rig. So that is a very popular role for things to do. So there's a fairly good chance that this rig is in demand, and therefore that the blueprint would also be in demand. Because as most people hopefully are aware, Tech2 blueprints are not produced anymore in originals. You can only discover copies, you can only acquire copies. If we want to talk about game history, there's a whole different story to that. We will not discuss that in this class. All right, so that is a good item. So we have essentially determined, okay, this is fairly straightforward, and with just a couple of checks, we've confirmed that the current contracts available are a good option. So that technique is essentially applicable to anything that you want to do. If you're manufacturing things yourself, you can simply determine what the input costs are very, very quickly by using appraisal. You can determine what your potential market is very, very quickly by using Eve Central or another market tool of your choice. And value in that is in just within about 30 or 45 seconds being able to find, okay, what is the likelihood that this will sell. So I'm going to give a quick example here. Rather than giving you a whole bunch of links, I'm just going to talk a bit more about some examples. We'll start with the ones in the chat. All right. So an incognito tuner data interface blueprint. One of the things that's important to realize about some of these more obscure modules is that they're very difficult to find a market for because essentially, you're appealing to a new player a lot of the time. A data interface is a special kind of manufacturing tool that isn't consumable. So the blueprint that Geekin linked has four runs remaining. Well, no manufacturer really needs to purchase four of these unless that they want to have them in multiple stations. Essentially, this becomes part of a job, maintenance job, manufacturing job, and it gets spat out immediately. So it's not actually a consumable. So once you have one, you're essentially all set. So as a result, the market demand is fairly limited. So what value is having four runs? Well, the answer is very much. So in terms of appealing to someone who's potentially going to buy it, your market there is probably going to be someone who wants to produce it and sell it. But if we just have a quick look at, is there already a glut of these on the market? I'm just going to view market details on everything. And the region that I'm in has probably about a dozen of these available, and they're all worth about a million ISK. And just out of my curiosity, I'm going to go to Eve Frazel and figure out what the materials are. And I can see Eve Frazel tells me that the inputs for producing this are also a million ISK. So that tells me that this item not only is manufactured at a loss, but it's also, based on what I know about the item and how manufacturers use it's also going to be very, very low demand. And I can also see that in the market, the fact that there are a long expiries. Like, for example, if these items were listed at 90 days, I can see that they've been on the market for over 2 months and they haven't moved. So this is an example of something that's very, very hard to sell because it is low demand, low profit margin, and also fairly low volume because it's just not moving. So to be fair, these kinds of things are, one of the big issues that explorers will come into because they just, they end up getting so many of them, especially in high sec, and there's just not very much to be done with them. And fairly soon, we'll be talking about what the options are for actually getting rid of those just through the contract system. So large Vicode jump drive blueprints, those are fairly popular, I would say, fairly profitable, I know from my own experience. Large Vicode jump drive blueprints I will buy myself so that my manufacturer can make them if I want a new battleship. I will probably want to fit one of these. So I'll want to have, five or six available so that I can fit those easily without having to buy them. And it's a fairly good profit margin if I choose to manufacture it. And again, that's just something I've discovered through experience and these methods here. Ancillary shield boosters, another really good example of things that will, often get lost through PvP because they're a fairly popular module. And let's see, the locus coordinator. So the locus coordinator blueprints, I would say, let's see, that's for a medium ship, it's Tech 2, to increase the optimal range of energy turrets. So this module appeals specifically to people who are flying a Mar and who are fairly wealthy and are very concerned about optimal range. So there is the potential that the people who want this are willing to pay a premium for it. But the volume of people that will need it is probably pretty low. So it probably doesn't have a very high turnover in the market. And as a result, it may have a fairly low demand in contracts as well to actually obtain the blueprint. But there is a market there, absolutely. All right, so a couple more sort of stories to relate. One of the things that I did just a month or two ago was I tried to get an explorer to sell me some ascendancy implants blueprints. And if you're not aware, ascendancy implants are meant to increase your base warp speed. So they're incredibly sought after by freighter pilots, as an example. So the appeal there for me was, well, hey, if I can get this blueprint, that would be great. Then I can just work on manufacturing it myself. And Unfortunately, the person who was selling it to me, was again sort of basing things off the contract market, and I went through the process that we outlined here and discovered that I would be essentially manufacturing them at about a 50 million ISK loss per blueprint. Something had happened recently. The actual name of the implants had changed recently. They separated, CCP separated them into high and mid, and simultaneously the market had sort of crashed on them. So all the people, all the station traders who had been hoarding them and producing them decided to, thank you for linking that, had decided, okay, we want to, reduce this now because the names have changed. We want to make the high grade, much more valuable. We want to make the mid grade, a little bit cheaper. So as a result, everyone who was trying to sell these blueprints, essentially couldn't them for anything because if you had to manufacture them, you were essentially manufacturing them at a loss. And so it leaves the explorers out in the cold because they found this thing and they can't actually sell it for any money because it's much cheaper to just buy the blueprint, buy the actual item off the market and not even manufacture it. So this person asked me, okay, what can I actually do in order to, make anything off of this if it's not actually going to be useful for anyone who wants to make a profit or make it for themselves? And this is where we can just get into, sort of a basic discussion of economics of determining, how can you actually sell it? How can you actually coax someone into buying it? And this is where we talk again about sort of finding your market. So I'll give sort of the basic tip that is good for almost anything in Eve is that if you don't know what it should sell for, create an auction. Start an auction price very, very low, start it at a million ISK, put it up for the maximum amount of time, and just let it go. Basically, let the market decide, let the people who want it decide what it's worth. The nice thing about an auction format is that all you need is two people who are willing to, who want the same thing. And as long as they're willing to bid up against each other, you'll essentially get what they're willing to pay. So that's a very, 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 very simple, sort of no-nonsense, don't have to put a lot of thought into it, way to just dump your stuff. Now, how do you want to draw more attention to it? Well, you have a couple of things to think about there as well, because you have the way the contract system works is if you list a single item, it's immediately visible, but it may not be as appealing as say if you had an entire set of blueprints, like if you had an entire set of rigs or an entire set of data interfaces or a set of ascendancy implants. If you had a set of those, you can sell them as a batch. That may be more appealing. Someone knows that they can buy that batch at a reasonable price and actually produce an entire set. Maybe that has more value to them rather than building something piecemeal, building it one at a time, because it's also the person's time, the person's efficiency. Like, do they have to fly around to several different hubs to try and find, okay, well, I need to get two of these and one of these, then I got get my materials. So the more that you can sort of batch and bundle things together, that's another option as well. And if you had, if you had 50 or 400 of the same kind of blueprints, you can essentially just stick them all in a container. Or, in a container is nice because they take up almost no space, and it's nice for the person who buys them. And by doing that, you can not only give them the option of, okay, here's a batch that you can use to start out if you want to get into manufacturing certain things. That's a really good way to say, okay, well, I realize that what this is not very valuable, but maybe you can actually do something with it. Maybe you're a new player. Maybe you're just starting to build your corpse blueprint library. All those little things, and trying to think about ways that people are playing the game that they might want things in a certain fashion. And especially by having them to not have to travel all around the universe to sort of get the best deal. So again, this is why sticking to domain and the forge is really good, because you're more assured to get the people who are just trying to do sort of mass market purchases. So to finish that story, I didn't end up buying the Ascendancy blueprint sets from that explorer, but I did get to at least give them a chance to. They were interested in feedback as, in terms of how could they make this more appealing. And what I said was, you should sit on it, wait till the market prices rise about 10 million each, and by that point, it'll be closer to a break even for anyone who wants to manufacture it. So there are times where you may actually want to just be sitting on the blueprints that you have, because market fluctuations can be quite significant, and that applies to anything from exploration to even if you're getting into LP stores like say Navy or pirate blueprints, anything like that. You may not want to sell things right away. So Brendan Link talks about having sets of BPOs for ammo and projectile guns. That's very good as well. If you're getting to the point where you're actually manufacturing sets of things, like one of the things I like to manufacture is missiles. So I'm interested in buying packs of missile blueprints that have high numbers of runs, or they're fully researched. That I want to buy Nova over here and Scourge over here. Here and I want everything all together. I want packages that are efficient for me as a manufacturer. Unfortunately, you don't get that kind of choice when you're doing exploration, so you still have to have some basic understanding of what these what the market is for these particular things that you're discovering. I would say for the most part, for people who have a lot of high sec and low sec stuff that's collecting dust. One of the best ways to deal with that is as I say, to do auctions and just sort of bundle things together and sort of let the market decide. Because at the point that you've collected a lot of this, you've done a lot of exploring, you've got enough experience to move on. At some point, anything is better than nothing, because all the time in the past is essentially a sunk cost, and you're simply trying to clear out your inventory. And without worrying about underselling yourself, you're just letting the market say, okay, based on an auction format, this is what people are willing to purchase it for in this 2 week time span. Yeah, Slide mentions the advertisements for Ascendancy sets. Yeah, it was very, very strange to see how the market shifted, but I think that's a big direct result of the names changing to say mid grade versus low and high. All right, so that is the majority of sort of the techniques and process. I mean, we can run through it as many times as you like for other things, but I thought that those couple of examples were very good given to us. Does anyone have any particular questions or other things that have been sort of oddities, things that have been particularly strange or they just haven't been able to sell? Okay, it could just be my finger getting tired on the push to talk key, so I'll try and keep clear on that. Inventory encryption methods. Yes, that is a good example of something that is both a loot drop and a LP store. I think I purchased most of mine off the market, and that's just important for doing certain kinds of manufacture. So in order to use all those data interfaces, you need to have those skill books injected. If you're thinking about getting into manufacturing, just as an aside, you really have to set aside a tremendous amount of money for the skill books required. They really add up, and there are a lot of them. All right, Cami asks, in general, is it more profitable to sell blueprints or to take the time and effort to manufacture them? That is an excellent question. So first question is, do you have a character who has those skills? Do you have the skills required in order to reduce your waste? And that is what a manufacturing character is sort of defined by. It's like, do you have those skills trained up to the point where your skills are not what's causing the waste? It's only what is remaining from the blueprint. And because with exploration blueprints, you don't have the opportunity to research them any farther, that's where the skills come into play. You really want to be sure that you're not wasting any more than you have to in order to maximize that profit. Second question is, do you want to use it yourself? Like, I fly quite a few battleships, so large micro jump drives are very, very valuable to me. But if you don't do that, if you're a frigate or a cruiser person, you're not going to use those. You just want to think about, okay, is there a good market in my local hub for actually producing these? So that comes down to just sort of knowing your own play style, knowing what you need. And a lot of the items, like the ancillary shield boosters and such, like those are very valuable. You may not be a shield flyer all the time, but just having a few of those in your hangar rather than having to go buy them at whatever the local market hub price is, sometimes that can be quite valuable. So if you're going to use stuff, I absolutely recommend that you try and keep a few things and learn to manufacture what's useful to you. But at the same time, are you purchasing your minerals? Are you purchasing, or are you also doing your own mining? Because that's also, again, talking about time value of money, you're talking about things that are valuable to you. You could be selling those minerals, you could be selling that ore and buying stuff that you wanted. So you really have to think about, it's sort of the economies of your play style, whether or not it's valuable for you to actually do that. I have a dedicated industrialist who does PvE as well. And then this is my PvP character. So I have a lot of reasons to use ship modules in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I only need a few of the manufacturing things, like the data interfaces. I don't need a whole lot of those. So you really have to know what your play style is and whether or not your skills will support something in order to decide is it worth making or buying. So if you just use the methods that we looked at here, so comparing the input costs versus the actual market costs, so the Eve appraisal plus the Eve central, checking those, you can determine, okay, what's the actual profit potential between those two? So then you can look at that another way. You can think about, okay, I'll make this much profit if I sell it, or I'll save this much money if I just make it for myself and don't ever have to buy it again. And speaking for myself, I sort of do about half and half of that. I'll make a lot of rigs. I'll make a lot of armor modules and prop mods that I don't find by looting, because I just want to have all of those. So I find that to be very beneficial. I don't actually have to buy those anymore. No linking astronautic engineering in this channel, please. It's one of those joke skills that CCP hasn't got rid of yet. All right. Any other questions? I've gone a little bit over my intended amount of time here, but as I say, I got to the point where I was talking with people one-on-one for over an hour about manufacturing and other things, and I want to try and condense that down to something I can point people to. So, any other questions? Feel free to ask. I don't want to keep people too much longer if you'd like to head off, but certainly I can address more specific examples. I can talk a bit more about sort of niche market things, so feel free to stick around if you like. Let's see, Sanguine asks, should I save up things like carbon or just sell them and not? I would say that carbon probably doesn't have a great deal of uses. Or let me put it this way. The best use of carbon that I've ever seen was this past Christmas, where someone took a freighter and filled it with carbon and took it into Old Man Star and let the local pirates gank it. Could get coal for Christmas. If carbon is used for anything better than that, I haven't heard of a lot of things on the market, like if you're not sure, should I be keeping all this stuff? A lot of it is so that people could get, if you remember the mini game. So that people could get something by clicking on it. So again, it sort of qualifies under trash loot. A lot of the commodities really aren't used for many inputs, and they're certainly not valuable to any degree compared to, say, things that you can manufacture or build or planetary interaction, anything like that. Again, no use for carbons coming to mind, but like there are inputs that require other base materials like water and other stuff. Reprocessing, I wonder. Not sure carbon would reprocess into anything because it's fundamentally a single element, so it can't refine back into another mineral because it's already a base element. So if CCP makes it possible to reprocess carbon, that would be silly. So yeah, the medium ancillaries, yeah. So Brennan links that those are a very good example of something that has very cheap input costs and fairly high sell value. Again, it's just something that's the ancillary, all the ancillary wrappers, are found through exploration. I'm pretty sure nobody should have an original blueprint of those. So again, it's something that will always be in demand. And then the markets can sort of adjust by demand rather than mineral input. A lot of that sometimes isn't very. Look at it this way: when a lot of people come in and they have a fair bit of economics experience, they sort of think, okay, well, they have some basic familiarity of, well, why are people manufacturing things and selling them at a loss? And the answer is they aren't, because there is a third party that they're not always thinking of. There's the station traders. Station traders have almost no concern about what something cost. They're only cost to make. They're only concerned about what it cost based on the moment they bought it. So their concern is the spreadsheet differential between the moment that their buy order was filled versus what they can sell it as. So that's something that really perplexes a lot of people who come in and try to get into manufacturing. They think, well, how can I make a profit? Everything is, they're selling me. Well, the answer is two part. One, there are people who've been in this game for a decade and they have a ton of stuff that they just want to get rid of it, because who wants to have all that stuff hanging around? And then there's all the market traders that essentially dominate the stations, and they're the ones that are controlling whether the prices fluctuate. So again, if you're a pure manufacturer and you're trying to make a profit, you really have to pick and choose your battles, because ultimately it's the station traders that are going to be controlling how things fluctuate to a great deal, and they don't care at all how much it costs your inputs to manufacture it. They only care about getting that 50,000 ISK differential if they can. So Carolyn asks a general question: do I train my alt equally into refining, research, manufacturing, or do you split these between different characters? Well, let's look at this from today's point of view. Refining has changed a great deal. Manufacturing has changed a great deal. So the answer that I give you today would be different from 6 months ago. CCP has separated refining skills and even the logistics of refining to the point where it's now a more viable profession. People with maximum refining skills can potentially offer a service. It doesn't tie in quite as well as it did to just being a manufacturer. So you're sort of deciding, you're doing that skill balancing of, is it worth it, to maximize all of these things in the time that I can actually utilize them? I would say that it's fairly easy to train manufacturing and research up at about the same rate. The separation from that is once you're getting into T2 T2 invention, because those require skills that manufacturing doesn't necessarily care about. But at the end, if you're manufacturing T2 items, you will need some of those skills. You just don't necessarily need them quite as high as you would with invention. So essentially, you can stay active doing what you want at the skill level you're at, and as your skills increase, you can start to expand what you choose to do. I think that's true for pretty much every potential profession in Eve. But if you're manufacturing is the easiest to get into, I would say mining and production is the second easiest in terms of skill time training. And then refining and invention are now kind of the upper scale. You'd probably have to devote a good month into getting your refining and your invention skills to a point where you really want them to be, in order to not be losing a lot of money. And again, the investment into skill books initially is just enormous. It takes a great deal of time to actually see a profit returned on that if you're looking at just the inputs versus the outputs there. But a lot of people do very, very well, just from a combination of exploring and manufacturing. Like I say, anything that PvPers will tend to use, that's a lot of good opportunities. Things like the data interfaces, things that manufacturers can use, not quite so profitable. But that's again just part of the demand of the game, whereas stuff that gets blown up is replaced. I can't tell if Brendan's getting into T3 manufacturing or just station trading. Yeah, personally, I haven't been interested in station trading. I have one of my best real-life friends who is extremely good at it, and he got into Eve for a few months. He's taking a break now, but did extremely well. And for that kind of thing, you just need sort of the initial Liquidisk investment to make the best of it. And then from there, it's just sort of discovering the market. But yeah, hopefully we'll expand this kind of shorter lecture. I know a few people who are trying to work on the more advanced trade skills. I just wanted to tie something into the exploration market as well, because we don't have really a lot of classes, certainly not even a lot of recordings about sort of how to make the most of exploration, and all that kind of PvE content is really what's Alrighty, well, I'm going to hit stop on my recording, and I'll just move over to one of the free-for-all classrooms if anybody else has any more chit-chat to do. So again, thank you for coming, and appreciate if anyone who is recording the class and plans to post it, if you have any questions about how to do that, feel free to send me a mail. The instructions on the wiki are pretty clear, and you're welcome to post it purely to the thread if you prefer not to fiddle around with the wiki itself. But if you're able to do that, I'd appreciate it.